Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to make a jungle air horn hit feel wide, cinematic, and deep, using Ableton Live 12 and a smart automation approach. Now, this is one of those sounds that can instantly define the world of a track. The second that horn comes in, the listener should feel mist, tension, chopped breaks, sub pressure, and that old school rave energy. But the trick is this: we do not want the horn to just sit there flat and loud in the center. We want it to start focused, then bloom outward like it's echoing through a foggy tunnel. So let's build that. First, load your horn sample onto an audio track or into Simpler if you want tighter control. Pick a sample with some real body in the mid-range, something that already has character around the 400 Hz to 2 kHz zone. If the sample is too thin, widening it later will just make it feel weak. If it's too bright, it may get harsh once we start adding stereo space. Trim the sample so the transient is clean and intentional. For jungle and drum and bass, you usually want the hit to be short enough to feel like a statement, not a long wash. If needed, use warp carefully, but don't overdo the stretching. The first job is just to make sure the raw horn already sounds strong on its own. Now place the horn in its own rack, or at least keep it on its own track, so we can control everything easily. In Ableton, that kind of organized workflow really matters in dense drum and bass arrangements. You want fast access to the important moves, not a bunch of random tweaks scattered across the project. A solid chain to start with is utility, EQ8, saturator, chorus ensemble or echo, reverb, and then another utility at the end. The first utility is there for gain staging if you need it. The last utility is useful for stereo width and output control. Before we widen anything, clean the tone. Open EQ8 and high pass the horn somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so it stays out of the subzone. That's really important in DNB. You do not want the horn muddying the kick or bass. If it feels boxy, try a small cut around 300 to 500 Hz. If the widening process makes it a little spitty or aggressive, gently tame the 2.5 to 4.5 kHz range. And if it needs more presence, a slight boost around 800 Hz to 1.5 kHz can help it cut through the break. If the sample still feels a little too soft, add saturator and give it a little drive, maybe 1 to 4 dB. Turn soft clip on if needed, and keep the output controlled. This adds density and makes the horn feel more solid before we start spreading it into stereo. Now for the fun part. Width. The main idea here is not to make the whole horn super wide from start to finish. That usually sounds obvious and can weaken the punch. Instead, we want controlled stereo motion. Think of it like the horn lands in the center first, then the space opens up around it. If you use chorus ensemble, keep the wet mix subtle, maybe around 10 to 30%. Use a slow rate and moderate depth so you widen the tail without smearing the attack. If you use echo, keep the delay time short, feedback low, and the wet amount restrained. Filter the repeat so they sit behind the main horn rather than competing with it. Another great move is using the final utility to automate width. Start around 100% width on the hit, then open it up to about 120 to 140% on the tail. Don't go extreme unless the mix is very sparse and the source is already mono-friendly. In jungle, more often than not, controlled width wins over exaggerated width. Now let's give it real atmosphere with return tracks, because that's the more musical way to handle space in this style. Create one return for a short room or early reflections, and another for a longer dub-style delay or reverb space. On the short return, use a reverb with a decay around 0.6 to 1.2 seconds and a little pre-delay. Then high-pass the return so it doesn't clutter the low end. On the longer return, go for a more spacious decay, maybe 2 to 5 seconds, and filter it darker, so it sits behind the groove. This is where automation starts doing the heavy lifting. Instead of soaking the horn in reverb all the time, automate the send amounts. Keep the transient drier and more direct, then let the send rise on the tail. That way the hit stays readable, but the atmosphere blooms after the impact. That's a very jungle-friendly approach, because the groove stays punchy, while the arrangement still feels massive. Now let's automate the width and space across the phrase. This is the key lesson. On the actual hit, keep the horn mostly centered and focused. A fraction of a beat later, let the width open up. Then increase the reverb or delay, send a little more on the tail. Finally, narrow it back down before the next drum phrase comes in. For example, you might keep utility width at 100% when the horn lands, then rise to 125% on the tail. You might keep the reverb send around 12% at the start, then push it up to 25% as the horn fades. You might keep echo dry at zero on the attack, Then bring it in at 10-15% after the transient. That layered automation approach is the secret. You don't need one giant dramatic move. A few small moves stacked together create a much more natural, expensive-sounding result. You can also automate a queue or auto-filter on the return or on the horn chain. A nice trick is to start a little darker, then open the filter as the tail expands. That gives you a kind of breathing motion, like the horn is moving out into space. Then close it again before the next phrase so the mix stays clean. Arrangement-wise, think like a drum and bass writer, not just a sound designer. Put the horn where it means something. Maybe it lands on bar 8 or bar 16 in an intro to signal the drop. Maybe it answers a drum fill on the last beat of a bar. Maybe it hits right after a break edit and a switch up to announce the new groove. That call and response energy is part of what makes jungle feel alive. You can even build a layered sequence. One horn hit that's short and dry, followed by a second one that's wider and more atmospheric, then maybe the third ghost hit with a reversed or delayed tail. That kind of progression makes the arrangement feel intentional and powerful. If you want even more control, resample the result. Once the automation feels good, render the horn to audio. You can freeze and flatten it, or record it through a resampling track. Then you can chop the rendered tail, reverse it, layer it under the original, or use it as a transition element. This is especially useful in drum and bass, because it locks in sound design and saves CPU, while giving you flexible audio to arrange with. A really strong technique is to keep the original dry horn for the punch and use the resampled wide tail as a separate layer. That way the front of the sound stays sharp, while the atmosphere lives behind it. Before you call it finished, check mono. Collapse the horn to mono with utility and listen carefully. If the horn disappears, gets hollow, or thins out too much, the widening is too aggressive, pull back on the chorus or stereo spread, and rely more on reverb sends and delay returns instead. In a club mix, the horn has to survive mono playback and still feel weighty. Also make sure it's not stepping on the sub, kick, snare, or break detail. If needed, keep the horn high-passed and leave space in the arrangement. Sometimes even a tiny gap in the drums before the hit can make the horn feel much bigger than any effect could. A few pro tips before we wrap. If the horn needs more character, try a light drum bus on the horn bus. Just a touch of drive can add edge and density. You can also duplicate the horn and create a low, filtered shadow layer underneath it, very quietly, just to make the hit feel heavier. And remember this, in jungle, the best width moves are usually small, layered, and musical. A little more send, a little more stereo spread, a little more tonal opening. That combination is often better than pushing one control too far. So the formula is simple. Keep the transient honest, clean the tone, use sends for space, automate the width over time, and place the horn like a phrase marker in the arrangement. That's how you turn a basic jungle air horn into a deep, atmospheric statement that hits hard without wrecking the mix. Now it's your turn. Build a two bar horn moment in Ableton Live 12. Automate the width and space. Test it in mono, and resample it if you can. If you do it right, you'll end up with a horn that feels punchy in the center, wide in the tail, and fully locked into that dark jungle atmosphere.